Hi, this is Donna with the Waldorf Connection, and welcome to our call today, Festivals and Celebrations. So I just want to welcome everyone to the call. And if you are on the line and need to ask a question, you can type it right into the Q&A box, or you can press star 2, and it will show me that you have a question, and I can unmute your phone. We can take a live call. So I will be taking calls at the end if we have any questions. So write it down as you go, and or you can send it in as you think of it. And I'm really excited about this call today because this is a perfect time to be doing this as we're just sort of heading into what I call the festival season. And it seems to kind of start in the end of September with, Michaelmas, and it really runs all the way through like Candlemas, and there's, you know, kind of between now and February, at least until January, there's a lot of festivals that are in the sort of Waldorf realm, if you will, and what you can do. But I want to kind of give you some tips today so that you're not overwhelmed, so that you're not freaking out, thinking you have to do all of the stuff. And do what I did at the beginning, which was, okay, like I got this list of festivals and I thought I was supposed to do all of them. And I didn't even know, I hadn't really done any of it. So it was kind of crazy, and it turned out to be a little bit more overwhelming than it should have been. But it was sort of a crash course, if you will, in festivals. So anyway, we're going to just kind of briefly kind of talk about, what is a festival? And I just really want to give you, why we are celebrating the festivals. We're going to talk about the most popular festivals, you know, how to celebrate. I'm going to give you the celebrate the festival template, the ins and outs of the festivals, and why it's important to bring festivals to children. And you'll get my tips and examples and some resources as well. So we've got a lot to cover. So I'm going to go ahead and just talk about the whole celebrations and festivals. And really, it's really based on rhythms, because really our world is based on rhythms. You know, we've got the seasons that ebb and flow, and we have the tides, and we have the moon cycles, and this whole rhythm that is happening outside of our houses and where we spend most of our days is indoors, so we're not as in tune to the rhythms of nature and the rhythms of the year and the seasons as maybe, you know, in generations long ago when they, you know, were out planting the fields and were working and hunting and all the things that they were doing and were very observant as to what was happening. We, on the other hand, just sort of go about our busy lifestyles and, you know, maybe occasionally glance outside. And, of course, we're aware what season is, but I think the importance of bringing these to our families and to our children is to really ground them and get a feeling for what's happening. Really, human beings are all connected. And so by having these festivals in their lives, by having rhythms and rituals in their lives, it's sort of connecting us all together. And so, you know, you might be celebrating a festival and there may be a lot of other people celebrating a festival. It sort of brings everyone together. It sort of is something that's been going on for, you know, maybe thousands of years. Some of these festivals are very old. And it really is a way to connect. We are sort of connected to these internal and external rhythms of life, and rituals, customs, celebrations, and traditions are really born out of our human need to just honor this connection. And, in times past, some of these celebrations, you know, were more prevalent, but I love the fact that Waldorf brings a lot of these things that you may have celebrated. You may or may not. And then there's a lot of other things and just other times and other little celebrations and things that you can choose, you know, to kind of bring in. So creating and celebrating with your children allows the opportunity for us to reflect, you know, on what traditions, you know, what do you want to bring to your child? What speaks to you? And this is one of the first things as we start going through the festivals. You know, what speaks to you? What festivals do you want? Maybe it's something you've never heard of before, and so you are interested. Maybe something that really doesn't resonate with you very much, and you're not really interested in celebrating that. You know, then that's fine. There's no, you know, set rule of what you need to do or what you don't. It's all about bringing what fits to your family, and especially that's my big tip or whatever to anyone doing Waldorf homeschooling is to bring what fits their family and not try to, you know, copy somebody else or, you know, do it because this is what everyone else does, even if it's really not something you want to be doing. So, you know, you have my permission to pick the ones you like, the ones that fit with your scheduling or whatever, or ones that just really, you know, feel like something that you want to, you know, bring to your family and really celebrate. And, you know, we start to have these celebrations become like a ritual. Like now we've been doing this now for 7+ years, and it would just seem odd to me if we didn't do things like the summer solstice and the winter solstice. And, you know, in times past, I understood that the winter solstice was happening, and I knew that, you know, okay, well, today's the longest day of the year or whatever it was. But there was no, you know, honoring it or stopping for a few moments or doing any type of celebrating of it. And now that's something that I've passed on to my children, and they love the celebrations, you know. And some of them, things that we do, and you'll find out here as I go through, some of them are very simple. You know, every festival, you know, when I used to think, oh my gosh, I have to do a festival, you know, I was picturing these huge, festival you might see at a Waldorf school, you know, with crafts and food and music and dancing and playing instruments and, you know, reciting poems and, you know, and it does not have to be anything like that, especially for the homeschooling family who may be just doing it, you know, in your own yard or just with your own family. It can be very simple. It can be simple as just, you know, lighting a candle and singing a song or saying a verse, doing a special meal, and we'll kind of go through that. So I don't want you to feel overwhelmed with, oh my gosh, this is all the festivals we have to do. Not at all. Not at all. So I love the festivals, and we've really gotten into a good rhythm with the festivals. Every once in a while, we'll try something new. And depending on what's going on in our school, you know, like when third grade was here, we had a great opportunity when we were studying the Jewish people and the Old Testament. We did a lot. It was a lot where we did a lot of the Jewish festivals, and we did Hanukkah and Christmas, of course. So it was quite busy. And, but, you know, it's nice because you're talking about something and then you are actually celebrating that festival just as those people did. And we also did Passover. It was really fun. So, you can look and see maybe if you have some heritage in your family, you know, something you may be doing already, something that's always you've wanted to do, like I said, something that's going with a curriculum if you're homeschooling, or, you know, whatever, there may be something ties in somewhere when you start reading of the festivals that maybe your ancestries from that region or whatever. You may find a certain one that really speaks to you, and it can be really, really fun. So I think, you know, this is the things we think back on when we think about the times when we made our winter solstice spiral and all the things that happened and the different, you know, it starts to bring memories. It starts to bring these times of get together and celebration. And I started doing festivals and inviting my own family to come. And they were like, what's this winter solstice? I mean, they certainly know what winter solstice is, but they were, you know, then they got to attend, and they're nothing to do with Waldorf, yet they were, you know, they were, opened and were able to come and to celebrate something with us and that they really enjoyed and had a good time. So sometimes you get to be the one that's doing something different on the block or in your neighborhood or in your own family. And you could create, you know, a ritual there. And it's really wonderful, I think, to have that. So, all right. So basically, you know, seasons and festivals is really, you know, there are the four main turning points in our year, the autumn equinox, the winter solstice, the spring equinox, and the summer solstice. And, you know, really grounding your child in these cyclical rhythms is really a gift that you can give, especially if you've got young children, because they're so engrossed in being outside and with nature. And if you do have, you know, younger children, they should be spending a lot of time outdoors anyway. And, you know, they're seeing these leaves fall down from the trees now, or acorns, or bulbs come up, or wherever you are at this time of the year, or whenever you're listening to this recording, you know, something is happening outside your window. And, you know, whether it's flowers blooming, snow is coming down, the leaves are dropping, or new life is coming, and you know, blossoms are coming out, and baby leaves are coming out. There's always something, you know, happening in nature. And they're going to be out there. You'll be out there anyway. You'll be seeing all of this. And so it's really tied together, you know, having this, the nature, the festivals, the seasons, a lot of it. I know even though that the festivals are based on, a lot of them are based on people, I think you're spending you're spending time out there and you're creating a mood and that kind of thing. So I know this talk isn't really about seasons, but it sort of really ties together in what we're saying. So like I was saying, just start with something that resonates with you. Maybe you've heard of something, same thing you've already maybe done before, or just want to make it a little more into something more, or improve on it, or whatever. A tip that I am going to give you here is that I created a festival notebook when I started the first year. Well, I probably didn't start it until I had a big bunch of papers that I had printed off the internet and was like, what can I do with all of this? So it's basically getting a 3-ring binder and or some kind of folder that you can put everything in. I start with like the Michaelmas. That's like my beginning. And then, you know, you find verses and songs and recipes, stories, ideas, you know, for whatever. And a lot of my stuff came from online. And so I would just print off some stuff. And then once I've gone through like 1 year of it, I've got it all there. So for the next year, I don't have to like, okay, now I have to do the Michaelmas Festival. What am I going to do? You're not starting over from scratch. You have something already there, and you can either add to it or change it or keep it the same. You know, it may need a little tweaking. We basically do the same stuff. You know, I've changed a little bit now that my girls are a little bit older. We don't do everything exactly the same as we did, but honestly, most of it is pretty much the same. Even the stories that I tell are still the same ones, because it's become the tradition and they want to hear the same stories and the same songs. So it doesn't have to be something where you're recreating something new every year. I mean, if you see something else you like and want to add or change a recipe, of course, you know, that's up to you. But you can really get the basics down and then have something to fall back on. And then you just open your notebook, you know, and say, okay, here's what we do for this festival. I have my story, my verse, here's the recipe I need if I need to make something, or, you know, and it's all right there. So I had the girls paint a pretty like watercolor. I'd put it on the front of the notebook, and that is my festival notebook, which I still have. And it is sitting right here, actually, in a little basket beside me. And I know that that's my festival notebook. So, it will be, coming out and being very busy over the next few months. So, all right. If you can find others to do festivals with, of course, that is really, really recommended. It just lends itself, a lot of these lend itself to having more people. It just depends, I guess, on you and your family size. But I spent many years, and we do most of the festivals ourselves. We have shared and done the winter solstice a few times with families over the last few years, and that's been really nice. But there's something to be said about doing it, you know, in your own yard in your own way as well. So, you know, like I said, feel free to invite other families if you have a Waldorf play group. Sharing the responsibilities of a festival is awesome. You know, one person is in charge of if there's, like, you know, snack or some kind of a bread or, you know, food. maybe somebody's in charge of getting the music, or if you have music, you know, you can just share the responsibilities. Somebody telling the story, or, you know, getting the things together if you need candles or whatever. It helps so that everything's not on you to do it. So if this is the first time you're doing festivals and you are brand new and you don't have anyone else to deal with, then take it really slow. That is a huge thing because, you know, we see all this stuff out there. We want to do, oh, it's got to be this perfect festival. That was me. And I just about ran myself ragged, you know, trying to do all of this. And it does not have to be like that, because if you are not enjoying it and if you aren't having a good time and if you are coming to the festival from a place of stress and overwhelm, that is what is going to be brought to the family. And that's your family is going to say, oh, festivals are no fun. Mommy's, you know, freaking out over here and she's not doing so well with it. It doesn't seem like this is going to be fun at all. So you set the tone for the whole thing for the most part. I mean, it could be dads too, but mostly it's probably I'm talking to moms. But either way, whoever's like heading it up here. So just remember that even though we want all the stuff, we want to do this, we want to do that, life, you know, is we're in the middle of life every day with all these children and all these things we have to do. So don't make it extra hard on yourself. Make it simple at first. And really, you don't even have to make it hard anytime. It can always be simple and it can still be, you know, enjoyed. And I'll tell you how we celebrate our main festivals. I'm going to go through each festival and what we do so that you can really get some ideas on what's happening. I know in the beginning when I first started to do festivals, I felt strange. And this was right at the beginning when I wasn't used to telling stories and verses in front of my husband and anyone else. Like I had a couple of, like my mom and some other people came. I guess it was different than just talking to my kids, and it felt odd, and I felt like I was doing, like I remember thinking, I hope my family doesn't think this is too weird, but they didn't. In fact, I asked them and they were like, oh no, it's really good. And so I felt a little odd at first. So if it feels weird, you know, you're saying these verses, I know I remember thinking this does sound odd, but it's because it was something different that we'd never done before. And now it doesn't feel odd at all. And it would feel weird if we didn't do it. So I'm just, you know, giving that to you that don't feel like something wrong with you. If you're like, do I have to say these things out loud or whatever and these verses and things? Yes, you do. And it makes it really great. Everyone really loves it and responds to it, even if it may feel a little awkward at first. That should dissipate pretty quickly. All right. So let's just go through some of the more common festivals. And like I said, I usually start mine from Michaelmas or Michaelmas, which is September the 29th. And there are a lot of different ways to, if you have younger children, I know a lot of people do the St. George and the Dragon versus St. Michael and the Dragon's stories. There's tons of stuff online, and there's a great, I'm trying to think the name of it. Maybe it's just St. George and the Dragon. You can get that right at free at mainlesson.com. So that, if you haven't already discovered, that is a wonderful, wonderful resource. Mainlesson.com, and look for the St. George and the Dragon. So for Michaelmas, we usually just make a dragon bread. The girls love doing that, and it's very easy. There's recipes you can find online. I mean, it's just basic bread recipe, and you just shape it like a dragon, and you add like raisins or dried cranberries, you know, for some eyes and teeth, sunflower seeds, I think, for the teeth and the scales. And, you know, you can get as decorative here as you want, or just make it into like a dragon with some, you know, his head and everything, and they love that. And it bakes out. It's really seems to be really tasty. there's also a great dragon story, the Dragon Boy series. It's a 3-book series called the first one's the Dragon Boy, and I can't remember what the next one's called, but I think it's just called the Dragon Boy series. That I would say for little older children for sure, at least 9. on that. I had those books for a while, and I was like, these just seem like they need to be a little bit, but the girls loved them. When we did read them, they, I just did like a read aloud, and they were quite long books, so it'll take you on if you want to do this, the series. And we've made swords, and this year we made shields out of cardboard. You know, the girls just painted, and we found something that they wanted to put on their shields, and I sort of helped them a little bit with the template, but they did pretty well, cut it out, paint it, and then came back and painted on their crest or whatever they wanted for their shields. We have made dragon candles with the just a regular like beeswax candle, just a regular even taper candle that we've taken beeswax, you know, just the regular beeswax, and the girls made a great dragon, and then we took a hair dryer and sort of melted him and stuck him on the candle, and that came out really great. We still have that candle. It's great. We don't usually do any type of big celebration other than that. Like, that's our Michaelmas. I know many of the Waldorf schools have, like, a fall festival, and Michaelmas seems to be where they do it. You can check around to see if you have something local. Maybe there's a school nearby you didn't know, but they usually allow people to come in. It's usually sort of a community affair where you can come in and go to the festival. So that would be great if you could do that. We did attend one up in Asheville many years ago, and they did a cider press where they made cider, and they told some stories and just had a big potluck, and it was really nice. All right. So we also do Halloween here in the U.S., which I know is not really a Waldorf festival per se, but we do, when after the girls get done trick-or-treating, they take their excess candy, which we only allow them a little bit of it, and then they leave the rest of it out for the sugar sprites. And the sugar sprites are the little beings that come and live out in the garden. And when it starts to get cold this time of year, they need extra sugar to keep them going. So we leave that out for them, and then the sugar sprites take that, and we always leave little trinkets or some kind of gift behind. The next one is Martinmas, which is November 11th, and that is after St. Martin. And, you know, I try to read a story that sort of goes along with, you know, the festival day, so something about St. Martin. And there's many things online about St. Martin. And this is usually where you do the paper lanterns, if you've seen anything. We've made all different types of lanterns, because in the story, there's this light that, and I've read several different stories that sort of guiding, one story was guiding a man up a hill, and there's several different versions I've seen of a part of this. But in each, there's some kind of a light that's guiding someone through the night. So making a paper lantern, or, you know, any type of lantern that you could be carried with a candle inside. And we've done several different versions over the years because they don't last long. One with a beautiful, like a kite paper, we've made. I think we did ones where we did paintings, like the Waldorf wet on wet paintings, and made them into, made them into lanterns. We also did, I think it was like a glass jar one year where we just, you know, put the candles and carried like a ball mason jar and did it. I mean, there's many ways you could do even like a can, you know, like a soup can or something where you poke the holes and, you know, the light shines up. There's many different ways to make lanterns. And what we've done, sometimes we have a bonfire in the backyard, but then that kind of, you know, lights the way a little too much. So we stopped doing the bonfire. And I just would go out and clear a path through our, we have sort of a, not really woods, but sort of a wooded area in the back of our yard. And so I would rake during the day, make sure there was no pine cones or big sticks that someone was going to trip on that we couldn't see. And I'd make a little path. And there's a great song from Jody Messler's. She's at Home Music Mama. HomeMusicMama? HomeMusicMaking.com, it is. HomeMusicMaking.com. And I go with my little lantern, and she's got a whole CD of like fall festival music, which is great. And I'll give that to you again as a resource. And it's a really cute little song, I Go With My Little Lantern. You can also play it on the recorder. So that could be something you could learn on the recorder and play, or you could come out and sing. So we just sing the little song and walk through the yard, and that's our festival. We just tell the story and do our little walk and come in. I've heard other people, you know, maybe some people walk around the neighborhood and sing songs, almost like caroling. If you have a group of people, I know at the Waldorf schools, I've heard of them kind of going around the neighborhood and doing that. So it's kind of whatever you want. If you've got several, you know, kids and you want to kind of do it around the house, around the yard, around the neighborhood, whatever, around the house, even. You could turn your lights off and kind of make, if it's bad weather or something, and you could just kind of go around with your lanterns. But the kids love it. And we take the time, you know, a few days before the festivals to start making, to prep and to make these lanterns and, you know, take the time to do that. Okay. So next we come up to St. Nicholas. And that is December 6th, and this is my girl's favorite, I think. And there is tons you can read about St. Nicholas. There's a great website, the stnicholascenter.org, and there's some awesome stories in there. And there's some stories that you can start reading. There's like 5 different stories. So you start December 1st, and then you read a new story every day till the 5th. And then you put your shoes on the front porch or wherever, you know, supposedly people would put their shoes out. And in the morning, treats and trinkets will fill. So it's really nice because it's just some small things that St. Nicholas will bring. But it really extends the holiday season to not just one day, but we celebrate several over the course of these weeks. So it does really make it like a holiday season, a festival season. There are some great books out there, tons of stories really about St. Nicholas. You should really have no lack in that department. And we leave a carrot out for the horse and, Rupert, Black Rupert or whatever that comes along. We can leave cookie or something out for them. And, they bring little, small toys, like little wooden toys, sometimes jacks, maybe books, candy, and like chocolates or something like that. That's kind of what we've done. Maybe little knitted toys, something small. Okay, the next one is December 13th, and that is St. Lucia, the feast day for St. Lucy. And this, we only did this one year. It's because it was like another festival that I had to try to squeeze in between all the others. And it was just December 13th was a hard time. But we did it 2 years ago. And that's where the eldest girl in the family gets to wear a crown of candles or lights or however you want to do that. usually a white gown with a red sash. You know, we did the best we could with what we had here. We didn't go through a lot. I've seen lots of people make little felted crowns that look like it's candles. We can get those little electric candles, with like little battery-operated ones that you could make into a crown. And then she serves breakfast. And so this was great because we have twins. They both did it. They made us a wonderful breakfast and came in and had their little crowns and came in with the breakfast. And it was really nice. And I think the story behind it is something that needs to be for a little bit older child. So check that out before you're just, you know, like going forward with it. But check it out. And that's St. Lucia. All right. Let me make sure I'm kind of going toggling back and forth here between my – oh, yeah, I didn't want to miss Advent because I kind of did skip Advent on here. Advent starts let's see. I don't know the exact start of it, but it's right around Thanksgiving. It's on a Sunday, and it's the 4 Sundays that lead up – the 4 Sundays before Christmas. So depending on when Christmas is, you back up with 4 Sundays. So it starts the 4th Sunday before Christmas. And I like Advent. Advent is something, like I said, it's just something that we do. It's very, we do it very simply. We make a wreath. I have a a grapevine wreath that I got years ago. And so we just use the same wreath every year. We just use that as the base. And then we go around our yard on a nice, you know, Saturday and we clip whatever, you know, whatever's in the yard, rosemary, just boxwood, you know, whatever shrubs, herbs, flowers, you know, leaves that are still around, which we have quite a bit of greenery around, but, you know, you do the best you can. You can even put, you know, like a Christmas tree clippings or something in it, and berries, whatever. And then we make a nice, we make the nice wreath. And then on Sunday, it kind of follows a progression. The first week is about plants, and the second is stones, the third is animals, and then people. So there's a whole progression here. And I totally recommend you use Reg Downs' Tiptoes Lightly book, Festival of the Stones, because it's great for younger children, and it has stories in it for each week. And this is one of the ones we use. We've always used these. I think they're great. They're very short. And it follows right along with each week of Advent. And I love, if you're not familiar with those, they're great anyway, just to have you get lots of stories of Tiptoes Lightly. And this is just the Festival of the Stones book. It really follows the whole festival season really right through. So it's a very great resource to have. And you can look online for the festival verses. I also have those in my Winter Festivals guidebook. So for those of you who got that as a bonus with this program, you'll be getting that, and it should have each week your verse to say for Advent right in there. I can't think of it at the top of my head right now, but it's in there. And it's just a real short little, like, two-line thing. And since, you know, we would put four candles on our wreath for the 4 weeks, and then each week one of us lights their candle. And, you know, however, what order, sometimes we go oldest to youngest, youngest to oldest, however you want to do it. And we say the verse, the person lights the candle, and then I read the story, and then that's it. So we always do it Sunday night after dinner. So that's, you know, it takes 10 minutes. And it, we, you know, it's just something, though. It's nice. It's just a kind of a coming together during a busy time of the year. And we have that little moment. And I love that. It's just, it's very, I don't know, it just kind of brings us together when everyone's scattered and kind of running around. And it's really nice to do that. And it's got it steeped into this tradition now that we've been doing it for so many years, as it would feel weird if we didn't do it. And even 1 year, I have a picture of my cat who jumped into the middle of the Advent wreath, was curled up inside in the middle of it. Well, that's cats for you. All right. The next is the winter solstice, which I said is one of my favorites. And I just love it. There's some great stories out there about, you know, sort of the dying of the sun and the new sun being reborn, the shortest day of the year. There's a lot there. We always, in the past, have made our own spiral where we take, we have these bushes on the side of our house and we let them grow and don't clip them in the summer. So by the time it comes, they're evergreen. And so we just clip those along with some Christmas tree branches that we have, you know, whatever we've got, and we make the spiral. And it's not big, but it's enough that you can go around maybe two or three times. And in the middle of the spiral, we used one of those big tree stumps that we have in the yard, and just a kind of a thick candle. And then each of us gets our own apple, which in the middle we have put a longer taper candle. And then the whole point, you know, is to kind of walk into the center and sort of letting the old, you know, it's sort of like meditating on what you want to let go of. And of course, you know, for younger children, you don't have to kind of explain all of that, but for the older ones, there's a little verse. It's a great verse too that goes along with it. I believe it's in my guide that you're going to be getting here. And it will just allow you to, you know, sort of do that. And then you light the candle off the candle in the middle, and then you put your apple somewhere in the spiral on the way back. And so as you go, it gets, you know, more candles lighted up if you have enough people to do it. It's nice to have a few people so that you have it all lit up, and it looks really, really pretty. It's very reverent, very, I love it. And then the other thing that we do after we do the spiral is we come in and have dinner, and we turn off all the lights in the house, and we eat by candlelight, and then we leave all the lights off. We have candles all over the house lit. Now the girls can do it themselves, but of course in the earlier years I did it myself. And they go to bed by candlelight. We don't turn the lights back on, and until they go to bed, and I try to keep them off too, just because it's such, there's such a mood. I usually meditate after that. It's my own little time. You know, we usually have our Christmas tree up, so we do leave those lights on. It's very nice to just like sit by the tree, and it's just one of those very relaxing, you know, moments, and celebrating the return of the sun. And there's a great song on, we got our song from, I think it's Circle Round. And there's a great song there about the return of the sun. All right, let's see if I missed anything there. Yeah, so I'd love to do that. And like I said, we have also met with a group of people, and we do it outside. Here it's warm enough. We meet at like a state park, and we've made one where we, you know, some people brought branches, some people brought candles, somebody made stew or something, hot cider, and then someone plays music, and we all do the same thing and sort of just do it together. So it is really nice to do that as well. All right. Let me make sure I've got everything here. Okay, yep. Winter solstice. On to the next, which is Three Kings Day, which is the 12th day after Christmas, and supposedly when the three kings brought the Christ child his gifts. So you're celebrating the three kings. We make a king cake, and it's just like a snack type cake, you know, one that doesn't like require any frosting. It just, we bake it in like a square, small 9x12 or 9x9 pan. And I can use like a honey cake recipe or a spice cake recipe. The thing is, it needs to be small enough so that you can cut all the pieces and someone can eat them, because you want to place a bean, a coin, or something that you can bake into the cake, wash it up really good, of course. And we have this silver coin thing that we've used for a while, and I put it in there and then cut the cake, and then whoever gets that piece in their cake is the king for the day. So, you know, make sure you don't make a big cake and then no one gets it. So I decided to make a small one, that way somebody would get it. And then that person gets to decide what we do for that day, whether we go bowling or, you know, whatever activity they want to do within reason for the day. And so that's always been really fun, who's going to get, you know, that whatever it is hidden in the cake. Again, something very simple you could make the day before, that morning, and that's it. That's all there is to it. One day we wrote the names of the three kings, I think, on the front porch. There's something to it. You can look into it. There's a lot more that can go behind Epiphany. A lot of people exchange gifts on Epiphany, Three Kings Day as well, depending on where you are. So there's a lot of stories. And there's some really great stories in the Festival Family and Food book. There's a great one in there. I'm just remembering right now. I may have it right here. And I have a lot of little tabs, little sticky notes in here. They have a lot in here, actually. There's Christmas Day. Yeah, here it is, 12th Night Epiphany. There's a whole bunch in here, and there's a great story of Babushka. There's a couple different stories that you can read right in here, and there's other suggestions. And a lot of these festivals are in this book, too. Recipes, stories, little songs, and verses. So do not overlook this book, Festivals, Family, and Food. In fact, if you don't have it, get it. You've got to have this book. This is like the one book I would recommend everyone to get. You will use it so many times over the years. Festivals, Family, and Food. Get that book. And then there's Candlemas, which is February the 2nd, also Groundhog Day here in the U.S. It's sort of the halfway point between the winter solstice and the spring equinox. Light is starting to return. You can see a significant change now. The day's getting longer, and it's also when they would make candles in the churches. They would spend that day like making all their candles, you know, for the year or whatever. Let's see, it's when the candles are made and blessed for the year. Okay, here we just, you know, we kind of do, we've done different things. We always celebrate Groundhog Day just by, you know, who is he going to see his shadow and all of that. But then in the past few years, we've also made candles, which is really fun. When the girls were young, we just did the beeswax roll-up candles, which you can buy those little kits online, and they're fair. Then when they were a little bit older, we did the dipping, which is fun. But, yes, it is a very long process, and you have to make sure you have, like, give an entire day pretty much to doing the dipping to figure out how to do it, have all the stuff, and do the dipping. But it's really fun. We made all kind of candles for gifts. I think we dipped 2 years, and then last year we just had some leftover wax that we poured. We had some wicks left, and instead of dipping the candles, we poured the melted beeswax into, not really molds, we made our own molds with we found these big seashells down at the beach over the winter last year, huge, and they were great, and so we poured the wax into there and made candles, and also out of walnut, the little walnut boats, and we made some of those. The girls floated them around in their bath, and also, like, we had a big thing on the table that we put water in and kind of lit them, and they kind of floated around. So you could do whatever with the candles. It's really fun. And, you know, just be safe. Make sure if you've got young children that you're right there with that. Because the wax is quite hot when you're dipping. I was doing a lot of the dipping at first, and then I would hand it to them and put it on a rack when we did the dipping candles. And then now they've gotten, you know, a little older, they can kind of help with that. All right. So let's see where we are. Oh, yeah, spring equinox. That's the first day of spring here. You know, we usually plant our spring garden then. It's a good time for us. Things are warming up depending on where you are. That may or may not work for you. One thing you can do is to plant wheatgrass for Easter baskets. It's usually a good time to plant that because it usually takes about 10 to 12 days for the grass to grow up to be long enough for, you know, Easter baskets or just Easter decorations around your home. But check, you know, as the date of Easter does change every year, if it's really close to the end of March or the beginning of April, then you may have to plant the grass a little bit earlier. But that's what we do on spring equinox. May Day is May 1st, and that's a lovely time. That's another time where a lot of the Waldorf schools may have festival with maypole dancing and have a big spring festival. So check to see if they have something going on in your area for that. If not, you can, you know, there's so many things you can find online about May Day. And we usually did a maypole. We would just use a tree in our yard and the day before decorate it with ribbons and beads and whatever we had around the house. I had gotten some silk flowers for the girls. They had their own little baskets and they would dance in a pretty dress, you know, around the pole and say a little verse. You know, I know there's a specific dance or something you can learn, but we never really did that because it was just us. 1 year we had a little tea party and invited a couple little girls over, and I had made a cake that had a maypole on it. It was so cute. And they just had a little tea party outside, and we celebrated that way. But what we've done recently, which has been so much fun, is the girls make May Day bouquets. They'll go in the garden and, you know, around and see what's blooming, and then they wrap, you know, it's almost like a little tussy-mussy. It's small. Wrap it with a wet paper towel and then put aluminum foil over it and wrap it with a ribbon. And then we take those. We just make two or three and drop them off. Like they always send, take one to my mom and a really good friend of ours. And we ring the bell and then kind of run away and supposed to leave it anonymously on the doorstep. And this year they surprised me and gave me one, which was really nice because I always like, oh, it's so nice to get that. It would be nice to have one too. And they came around and surprised me later in the day. I thought it was the UPS man. They rang the doorbell and I thought it was the UPS guy. And when I opened it up, there was the bouquet on the front porch. So that was really sweet. And it's really fun to do that. And they also go out in the morning and splash the morning dew on their face. It's supposed to bring beauty to maidens or something. And we have some ivy right here by the back door. You can splash water off ivy and hawthorn and something else. Anyway, one year I even ordered some mead wine online, because really it's sort of this time of celebrating the festival of fertility, you know, rebirth, spring, and all of that. So there's a lot on there. I know that in many countries they still do have May Day festivals and actually celebrate. I think it's wonderful. And the last one we do is the summer solstice or midsummer night. And that's the festival of St. John's Eve, if you do something with that, or just celebrating the longest day of the year. For us, we get up at the before the sun rises, and we go to the beach and watch the sunrise. We've done this, I think, for 4 years now, maybe five. And we just take a little snack. I take some tea if I can get it up early enough and make it. And we watch the sunrise, take some pictures, and let the girls just play for about an hour on the beach. And that's been really great. And then we have usually have a bonfire. It's really hard. We try to have a bonfire and sort of dance around the fire, but it's usually very hot here. And so it's like the last thing we want to do when it's already 90 degrees is to dance around a fire in the backyard. So depending on the weather, last year it was so hot, I don't think we really did much. But in the past, we've come out at night, and I've let the girls kind of dance around the fire. And we usually leave a little something out, a little treat for the fairies that do leave a little gift behind who come and get that. Usually, we leave them some kind of food, nuts, seeds, little chocolate chips or something, and they leave a little gift behind. One year we even made these beautiful garlands. I just had a lot of flowers blooming by that time, and we had echinacea and all kinds of stuff that was blooming, and I made these beautiful, like, and I hung them from the tree. It was gorgeous. There's a lot you can do for midsummer, so check online. But again, none of these things are really that hard. I'm not doing much. We don't have big feasts or anything. Most of it's just kind of doing some small things and you know, making it work for us. So I just wanted to give you an idea of what I do, because that's what I was like, all right, well, tell me what we're doing, you know, what exactly, what does it mean to do this festival? So I just wanted to give you kind of round the year of how things go and what I do. And hopefully that's that. Let me check in to see now, as I've gone through this whole thing, if I have any questions. Guys are quiet. All right. Well, I'll keep going. Oh, it looks like we're getting close to time anyway, but let me see here. I'm also going to include this festival template that you're going to get like a printout for. And this is sort of like the steps to doing a festival. So the first thing is to choose your festival. You know, read about it, familiarize yourself, you know, what is it all about? Why are people celebrating this festival? What is it after a person? Is it after, like, the solstice? You know, what's happening? You know, what is the mood of this festival? Is it happy and fun and loud? Is it very quiet and sort of solemn or meditative? You know, sort of get that behind it, and that will help you as to how you want to bring that festival. Then choose a time that you'll do it. You know, hopefully it can be on the day of the festival. It doesn't have to be. I was a real stickler for this at the beginning. I thought, if I can't celebrate it on that day, then what's the point of doing it? Like, I was sort of type A thing. But since then, I've sort of like, you know what, sometimes it just doesn't work out depending on the day of the week it is. And we may have to do it on a weekend or something. And I found it doesn't lose any of its luster, you know, especially if it's something like Candlemas or whatever. And I guess the winter solstice and the summer solstice really needs to be done on that day. But some of the other ones, you know, can be more of a week-long festival where you can just sort of celebrate, make your lanterns, do your lantern walk, sing songs or whatever, and it doesn't really matter. And then decide if you're going to do it, you know, with other friends and other family members, if you're just going to do it, you know, by yourself. And just keep it simple, you know, either way. And then decide who's going to do, if you're doing it with others, you know, who's going to do what piece, or if you're going to do it yourself, keep it simple with just a few components. Then you can celebrate by sharing a story, a song, a poem, or a verse related to the festival. You don't have to do all. It would be almost too much. So just pick something, one little thing, maybe, you know, a short verse and a story might even be fine, or a song, and then a short story or a poem. Don't do all, just pick one or two, or one is even fine. If you can, make a craft related to the festival, as in, you know, making the candles or the Martinmas lantern, or, you know, a sun. We made sun cookies also for the return of the sun for the winter solstice. We can do the chocolate and the vanilla, so it's the light and the dark. I don't know if that's considered a craft, but I guess it could be food or a craft, or you could make, you know, suns and hang them around or something like that. There's a lot of different things that you could do. A lot of ideas, again, in that festival's family and food book. And then you can share a simple seasonal food, whether it's the dragon bread or just something, a meal to kind of go along with your festival. And that's really all there is to it. There's not a lot. There's not like you have to do this big to do. It's just a few little things. Light a candle and say a verse and have your meal. I mean, it could be just as simple as that. It does not have to be anything complicated. It doesn't have to take, you know, days and days of planning. You know, it can just be something very simple, and that's what I suggest, because you want to enjoy it and you want to have fun and not spend all the time trying to figure out how to put it all together. And, all right, let's see here. I wanted to, let me see, make sure I've covered everything on here. The most popular festivals, ins and outs, yeah, the importance and tips and ideas and examples. I've gone through a lot here, and you'll get some more examples of things in the PDF. Here's an example of an autumn festival and how to celebrate it according to following the template. And this is great. It kind of gives you an idea, even though I sort of went through and just gave you all the examples for what I do. Here is another example of what you could do, which is, you know, more examples, the better. That's the way I feel about it. Just something, you know, to kind of look and see. And so resources, again, festivals, family, and food book. I could not give that any more thumbs up. It's great. HomeMusicMaking.com. Again, that's the one I mentioned earlier. She's got some seasonal songs and songbooks for the recorder and to sing. Also, Sing a Song of the Seasons. That is great, and that's by Naturally You Can Sing. Their website, naturallyyoucansing.com. And they've got a Christmas one with Christmas songs, and they have a Sing a Song of the Seasons, which is all different, you know, for all four seasons. Great little songs you could bring in. Also, Earthways is a great book. Earthways, Simple Environmental Activities for Young Children by Carol Patrash is great. There's lots of seasonal crafts and things in there that you could also bring when you're doing the festival. And it's a great book anyway. So, all right. I think that pretty much does it with festivals and celebrations. I wanted to give you enough, but not too much, so that you know it can really just be simple and joyful and fun. So it's just picking the ones you want to do. Just pick a few. Don't feel like you have to do a lot. And then just experiment, you know, try it out. Does it feel good? You know, do you want to do more next time? You know, that's the kind of the thing. It's just, if you've never done any of these, then you may not know. So take it on the slow side, you know, take it on the simple side, and that's it. It can really just, you know, be as simple as what I had said earlier, because you want to be the one out there enjoying it too, because it's always, we're always the mom of the one is like the one behind the scenes, right? Like doing all the cooking and then having to do all the stuff and like missing all the fun laughing in the other room. You know, you don't want that. So, you know, give yourself a break when it comes to festivals. And they can, you know, be very, very special. And just the celebrating, just taking the moment to reflect on what's happening and just taking the time to connect. It's so much more about the connection and, you know, being outside if you can do it and celebrating something, you know, something that, you know, maybe goes back many, many thousands of years, or celebrating the turning of the seasons and the moon and the, you know, the return of the sun and all of that. It really gives our children and ourselves, you know, the sort of healing and grounding that we need to be connected to the earth and to be connected with each other again and to bring that together. So Let me double check one more time if there's no questions out there. Somebody's asking about what if you have little children during the festivals? So here's a good, that's a good question. Like maybe you've got some younger children and, you know, at the beginning I was like, okay, everyone has to stand here and has to listen and whatever. And, you know, if you're either, if you've got a 2-year-old who's sort of running around while you're doing the verse or telling the story, it's all right. You know, it, everybody doesn't have to stand at attention and be perfect. It should be relaxed enough that it's fun and that you're flexible enough to just let things go rather than getting angry. You know, somebody doesn't want to participate or, you know, they're just not paying every attention to everything you're saying or whatever, because this happens with young kids, or they're kind of not following along exactly how you want it to go. That's fine. I mean, it's just part of having a family and doing, you know, and doing these things. And as they grow older, you know, they can become more and more involved, and they'll see how it's supposed to go, and they'll be used to you doing it, and they'll fall into place much easier. So just kind of go with the flow of that. Relax, have fun, and enjoy it, rather than you trying to make everything just perfect. Because there's no festival police watching you, telling you you're doing it wrong or whatever. Nobody's watching it. I mean, it's just amazing that you're able to bring these things in whichever way you feel you can, and just think of it that way. So I'm going to leave you on that note. I don't see any more questions. You can also, if you have questions after listening to this, come on over to our Facebook, the main Facebook group, the Waldorf Connection Facebook group, and feel free to post questions over there. I'd love to hear any suggestions or things you do for festivals. And, you know, if you've got an idea or something you may have already been doing or heard about, come on over there and post. I'd love to hear it. So, all right. Until I talk to you next time then. Bye-bye.